I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers.
Good news and bad news. I thought I'd be having to do my show while watching the Heat game. But I guess I don't have to worry about that anymore. Just great game by the Heat. Just a bad ending. And Wade really came through there at the end, but the Bulls tied it there and really took care of business in the end overtime. So the Heat fail. And not looking good if they want to get that first seed. It just, I thought it was right there in front of them to get that first seed. And the NBA, let alone the Eastern Conference, but just talking about the Eastern Conference, obviously they didn't have it last year and still got to the finals, but just seems like an unnecessary step to have to, to have to go into Chicago now in the playoffs and, win a couple games on the road. But, they did last year. But, the Bulls are determined. They're a good team. It's not like it's just an easy thing to do. So, I guess it's looking like it's probably what's going to happen now. To lose a game to the Bulls is not good record-wise. So, we'll see what happens. There's only about 2 weeks left here in the NBA. So, we'll see what happens the rest of the way. Still a lot of time left. But for two teams that really haven't lost much this season, it just seems unlikely that we're going to pass them. We have one more game left with them. If we win, I'm not sure how the tiebreaker works. But if we lose that game, then it's over. But just moving on really quick, the top news for the past week. One was the Masters. Let's talk about something else than, the normal sports like to talk about. What a great Masters it was. And, nothing about Tiger Woods. He did pretty bad. But Bubba Watson capturing his first Masters in his career, winning in a playoff versus, I'm going to try to pronounce it, Oosthuizen. Oosthuizen was winning the entire, seemed like the entire day four, but Bubba Watson not giving up and forcing the playoff holes and coming through. So congratulations to him. Just moving on really quick, just back to the NBA a little bit. It's heating up, 2 weeks left. It's amazing how fast it's gone. But, there was a season, so at one point I really didn't think there was going to be, so I'm just happy that there is. But it just goes by really, really quick. It's been a strange season. It's different. It's really hard to judge. There's always things happen to different teams. Some teams play good sometimes, and a lot of good teams play bad, and you try to analyze it, but it's just there's no time to think. There's no time to practice. When you're having some problems, you don't have the next day to practice. You might be playing the next day, or you might be just trying to catch your breath just to play the following 2 days, and it's really tough. We'll see what happens in the playoffs, but about 2 weeks left. Spurs, Heat, Bulls, and Thunder, still all in contention for the number one seed. Thunder, I've kind of been resting on them, sleeping on them, thinking that they're going to run away with the Western Conference. It's now a toss-up between them and the Spurs. I really didn't give the Spurs any chance, but now that they could potentially have the best, well, record in the NBA, but at least in the Western Conference, if everybody's got to go and beat them at their home, the Spurs have a chance. I didn't think that they would go in and beat Oklahoma City with the youth that they have. What a major difference in age, but you know, if they have the home field advantage, especially throughout the entire playoffs, which is possible, then they might be the team to beat. I haven't really talked much about them. I mean, they're playing great. Greg Popovich probably on his way to winning a Coach of the Year award. But just, you can't, I'm not sleeping on them anymore. The Spurs definitely have a shot here to do something this season. And obviously with Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Ginobili, you can't count them out. They're champions already, so just pay attention to them. We'll see how the West shapes up. The Bulls looking like they might have the East now, but still some time left. The Heat do have another meeting with the Bulls, so the Heat just not playing well lately. If they could turn it around and start winning some games, you know, we'll see what happens, but it's not looking good after tonight. Heat and Bulls just got done on TNT, and the Bulls winning that one. Derrick Rose didn't play too much today. You could see most of his shots weren't even close. Very rusty. Their Bulls still getting done without him, so he didn't play too much. But even with him on the court, it wasn't really necessary. Scoring is really what he's great at, but he isn't doing too much of it. Just talk about the NHL. Playoffs started on Wednesday. And yes, the Panthers did make the playoffs, and they did get that all-important third seed. The Panthers start their series against the Devils tomorrow. Should be on FSN, I believe. And good luck to them, obviously. I'll definitely move on to the NHL a little later on in the show. We'll go over the standings, how everything panned out, and you know how the series are going so far. About six games have played so far, I believe. So we'll see how the playoffs are shaping out so far. Baseball also underway, started last week. And, you know, nothing to really analyze just yet, obviously. Baseball is the longest sport, longest season. There is, you know, six games so far. That's one game in the NFL, so. Definitely some surprising stories, but, you know, nothing to really analyze too much. Just, you know, Josh Johnson, Tim Lincecum, two outstanding pitchers, have been playing horrible as of late. So far in the season, and we'll see if they can shape up. I mean, you can't count Tim Lincecum out. Obviously, Josh Johnson, with injuries and stuff, he's still a little rusty, so we'll see if he can come back and do good his next start. Obviously, the first game that Josh Johnson played was against the World Series champs, and the last game he played was against the Phillies and against Roy Halladay, so not exactly the easiest task in the world, but he definitely should be pitching a lot better than what he is. Just moving on to the NFL a little bit, a few players still have signed their franchise tag. Drew Brees, Ray Rice, Wes Welker, to name a few. Ray Rice is just uncomfortable with the offer of $7.7 million a year. He's an excellent running back. He may be the best as far as, I mean, all-around running back. I mean, between getting passing yards and rushing yards together, he's outstanding, and he's young. I think he definitely deserves more money. He's the best player on that team, who's now slowly getting a little older on defense. And their offense now starting to switch over to an offensive-oriented team. Ed Reed and Ray Lewis kind of getting up there in age. Terrell Suggs. He stated that he outplayed his contract since he's been in the league. So we'll see if they offer more money. They have to offer more money. He's one of the best in the whole league. So they have to. Drew Brees, not signed yet. Really didn't think that he'd be playing anywhere else this season, but now with all the mess going on in New Orleans, it's really no telling where he's going to be. But he has not signed yet. And if you have not signed your franchise tag, you cannot show it to practices. So that's coming up pretty soon. We'll see what happens. Draft's coming up pretty quickly. We'll see if any decisions are made by Drew Brees. Yeah, stand-up guy. a lot of mess going on there. It's easy for me to say that he probably doesn't want to play there anymore, but I don't know what kind of stand he's taking, if he's defending his coach. You would have to think deep down he's kind of upset with the franchise, but we'll see what decision he makes if any other teams make an offer. Speaking of the Saints, Bill Parcells will not be the coach. They agreed to have Joe Vitt be the coach of the year for the Saints. He was the assistant under Peyton last season, obviously Sean Payton with the one-year suspension. And Joe Vitt being the assistant actually faced a six-game suspension to start off the season. So they're going to have to find a coach for the first six games or somebody to kind of run operations. But after that, they'll have Joe Vitt for the rest of the season. Sean Payton appealed, but to no avail. Roger Goodell is pretty strict on what he had in mind to set an example. And he'll be out for a year. He cannot partake in any communications to the coaching staff or players all year long. Obviously, simple conversation. They talked about Drew Brees welcoming another child pretty soon. You know, obviously, if you call to congratulate him, that'd be okay. But as far as having any concern with the team and the team success or anything like that, it's not allowed. Big news down in Arkansas. Few days ago, Bobby Petrino, the head coach of Arkansas football team, is now he got in a motorcycle accident and just led to a series of events. Getting into the motorcycle accident was the least of his worries, even though he has scarred up face. What happened was apparently he has been having a long time affair with Jessica Dorrell, 25-year-old. Former volleyball player for Arkansas. Apparently they changed. She was on the back of the motorcycle, and after the everything was found out, this thing kind of just exploded. Between the years, he's exchanged over 100 phone calls and over thousands of texts. Obviously, they were having an affair. Petrino is married and head of four children. And now fired as a head coach. So, Petrino just apologized to the Arkansas Athletic Department, but he just got his hand caught in the hook cookie jar. Basically, not real different from Tiger Woods in his situation. Lust got the better of him. Beautiful girl. I mean, you know, I wouldn't ever cheat, but you know, it's easy for. It's easy to say that, but as a guy, I think Petrino, I'm not defending him by any means, but, you know, he knew the risk going into what he was doing, and, you know, he got caught. And Tiger's just still getting over what happened to him. Arkansas had a great season last year. Not too much else going on in Arkansas except for the Razorbacks. So a lot he lost, and we'll see what the university does heading forward, but it will be without Bobby Petrino. Back to the NBA, Dwayne Wade reportedly wanted pay, or not pay, well, compensation for playing in the Olympics. Today, he now reversed his statement. Earlier, he said, it's a lot of things you do for the Olympics, a lot of jerseys you sell. And after the Heat's practice, Wade said, we play the whole summer. I do think guys should be compensated, just like I think college players should be compensated as well. Unfortunately, it's not there, but I think it should be something, you know, there for it. I don't think he should have opened his mouth to begin with, personally. Whatever he says isn't going to change. There's no appeal. I mean, nothing's going to happen. They're not going to get paid. And now it just kind of just sounds selfish and greedy. And I really can't defend him. I mean, they make so much money. You're playing for your country. You know, that should mean something. And I just don't know why I said it. He's a great guy, but that was definitely a weak moment for him, and I hope that he doesn't say something like that ever again. It's pretty bad, pretty classless, honestly, on Wade's part. Demaryius Thomas, wide receiver for the Broncos, states that he's okay with moving on to a new quarterback. Quoted, it's a business decision. I ain't gonna say I was sad because the only thing they remember is the is that pass. You got to go back and look at the rest of the games. I wasn't getting no balls, and you had to make some of these plays where some players were open, and he is not making the throws. But I don't want to talk bad about him, but hey, I am happy we got Peyton. Nothing wrong there. It's an honest statement. You know, you can't hate. I mean, there's people that hate people. I don't understand why you hate people. Sure, I mean, it's understandable that you might not think that he's a great football player. And I'm not going to really go into it because you've heard my opinions on Tebow. All good. You know, but I'd be happy if we got Peyton Manning too. Just Peyton Manning is one of the best of all time. Why wouldn't you be happy about that? You're a player. It's totally a business decision. He didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, as a wide receiver, your main success is based on the quarterback. So, no question, his numbers will go up now. And I'm sure he will miss Tebow as a person, but as a player, I'm sure he'll be fine. Just going into some college news, FIU fired Isaiah Thomas last week from head coaching job for basketball team. Great player, Hall of Famer, but I guess not so great of a coach. Obviously, FIU is a school I attend, and it was nice to have him here for a little bit. He did. He refused pay. He basically all the pay that he would have gotten for his first coaching year, he gave back to the school. So, you know, he tried, but it just didn't really work out. Other NCAA news, Andre Drummond, UConn star, he now chooses to go pro, possible fifth-round pick. And I talked about last week, you know, there's only a one-year limit now. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever, they didn't have a limit. You could just go straight from high school. Obviously, started like Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Dwight Howard. I never played in college. But, you know, he now it's just 1 year, and it's starting new problems because now you start 1 year, and you – and I just say college is whatever, but you still start a team, and you can get better and better. And not only are you – you can better yourself by staying a couple more years. If you leave early, you're just kind of letting your team down. I mean, your team still has to try to figure out how to get some chemistry. And in the NBA, it's easy. You can keep guys for 5, 6 years, whatever, kind of create the same players and whatever. But now in college, you got to have a guy come in for 1 year, have a good season, then he leaves, just leaves a big gaping hole and new players. And you see it all over the college. These players are one and done. It's just stupid. I get it. I mean, it's right there in front of you, your entire life dream. But it's not going anywhere, you know? I would think they'd want to think about it and be open to being a better player. You're going to be a better player if you stay in college and choose to go to the NBA. Players aren't doing it. They just think it's all better to go early, and it's not. Yes, they might think, okay, now all you have to do is just say, yes, I'm going pro. I feel bad about the college, but you know what? My dream will come true. Your dream will come more true and more alive if you wait a couple of years. If you wait a couple of years, I made this argument last week, you're going to develop a better team in college, and you're going to get farther into the tournament in most cases. And that alone is going to build character. It's going to give you some experience with really, you know, important games. Something you're not going to learn if you come for 1 year, probably. So you stay, the longer you stay, the more you're going to learn, the more you're going to get better. And by the time you get in the NBA, you're going to already have a lot of those assets that you might learn in your first couple years of the NBA. And it'll be just much better off. So I'm not seeing that. We'll see if they change from the role they have right now. And moving on to college football. The draft is a couple weeks away, and it's pretty much a lock on the first two picks. But now Ryan Tannehill, Mel Kiper does not have him in the top five, but they're talking about him possibly being a third pick. Dolphins, I kind of just been eyeing him. At least I think they have. You know, they definitely need to think about a quarterback. But, you know, they're only in the ninth pick, so I don't know if they can hold off to get Tannehill. We'll see if they possibly move up. I don't know how bad they want him. Let's talk a little bit about hockey. I'm not shy about talking about a little hockey. We do have final 16 teams, and the playoffs are underway to chase for the Stanley Cup. I'm not going to come on and be an expert, but I will give you some information on who's playing. In the Western Conference, the seeding looks like this. Vancouver at number one, St. Louis. This is in the Western Conference. Vancouver number one, St. Louis number two. Phoenix finished number three. Nashville number four. Detroit number five. Chicago number six. San Jose number seven. And the LA Kings at number eight. Simple seeding, one plays eight, two plays seven. Three of those series are underway. Nashville, the number four seed, is up on number five seed Detroit, 1-0. And the two underdogs, San Jose, number seven, has a one-game lead against number two, St. Louis. And the LA Kings, number eight seed, has a one-game advantage on the number one seed, Vancouver. Now, it is hockey, you know, in a game that's, you see a couple goals, three goals, maybe anything can happen. It's not like a height advantage where you physically just can't outperform a certain team, and like you say, in maybe basketball or football where you have speed or whatever, but hockey, there's a lot of skill, you know, but, you know, you drop a little puck, they can go anywhere, and they're all good players. It's harder. It's easier for a weaker team to possibly escape in hockey. I say the same for baseball, too. You know, in baseball, it's more of a who's on fire or who's clicking. In hockey, the better team for sure is the one or two seeds, but yeah, anything can happen. But just like that, the whole season. And now the number eight seed, the Kings. I mean, this whole year, Vancouver and St. Louis have been fighting for that home field. And just like that, it's taken away from them. So just really interesting how that works. In the Eastern Conference, the Rangers are number one. Number two, Boston. And yes, number three, your Florida Panthers, who ended a 12-year playoff drought. I had somebody come in the store look for Panthers shirts. We actually got a few styles of the Stanley Cup playoff shirts. And she's a diehard Panthers fan. It was awesome. I picked her brain a little bit, asked her some trivia questions. She answered them pretty good. But yeah, she told me the 12-year drought for them. Pittsburgh ended up being number four. Philadelphia, number five. The Devils, New Jersey, number six. Washington, number seven. And Ottawa finished number eight. Three of those series are underway. The Rangers have a 1-0 lead so far in the series against Ottawa. Boston, a 1-0 lead against Washington. And the Flyers have a 1-0 advantage against Pittsburgh. The Devils-Panthers series kicks off tomorrow. So good luck to the Panthers. Song. It is time for your stat of the week. And thanks to a couple of awesome performances last night of basketball, easy two stats to pick out to you today. One, no question, Andrew Bynum, 30 rebounds yesterday. Outstanding. How do you get 30 rebounds? I believe he had 19 rebounds after the first half. Totally out. Ridiculous. This is the fifth time in Lakers history that's ever happened. And the second time in the past 15 years that it's ever happened, the last one to do it was Kevin Love of last season, who had a 30-30 game. So very impressive to do. Another stat of the week is Rajon Rondo. Not to be outdone, last night had a triple-double, 10 points, 10 rebounds, and 20 assists. Just outstanding. He's just amazing. He's the reason why the Celtics even have a chance this year. He's unbelievable. So those are my two stats for you guys today. And it's pretty much all the hockey I was going to talk about. Let's go back to the Panthers. I really am rooting for them. You know, like I said, it is hockey. I think they have a chance. They definitely, look at their wins. They haven't had that many wins this year, but they also haven't had that many losses. They've had a lot of shootouts. And, you know, you get points for those too. So they've accumulated points. And, you know, it's not all about wins and losses in hockey. It's also about shootouts and everything else. So they've kind of, you got the points elsewhere and just done enough. Obviously, winning the division again to get the third seed helps a lot. But good luck to them either way. Just a quick NBA talk. Quite a few games on today. 5 games going on. First game, just I don't know how I can say I'm surprised, but wow, Charlotte losing at home to Detroit by 24 points. It was, I think it was around 30 points at one point. It was ridiculous. Charlotte is having a really just a dismal season, just really bad. Detroit's not having a great season either, and they came in and they kicked the crap out of them. Like I said, the other game, Chicago beating Miami 96-86. Not too many points scored for an overtime victory, but a couple of good defensive battles. Wade played pretty good in the second half. Just, I give Chicago a little bit of credit. They hit a lot of big shots, a lot of shots. Dang hit plenty of threes. Kyle Korver was just on fire in the fourth quarter. We've seen that a lot this year. Some teams are just catching fire against the Heat. I don't know if that's their defense or what, but it's a little annoying to watch, but Chicago at the better Miami. I still think they'll be okay in the playoffs, but it's just frustrating. They've not playing good lately. The other game today, the Clippers beating Minnesota 95-82. Kevin Love not playing today with a concussion after being elbowed in the head yesterday. So Clippers winning again, they should. Memphis playing at San Antonio. San Antonio does win this game 107-97. We'll check out the standings in a few, but they're neck and neck right now with the Oklahoma City Thunder for that first seed in the West. Dallas at Golden State currently now on TNT. Dallas getting the better of Golden State. Dirk at the line, and it is now 48-33 Dallas with 5:45 left in the second. So Dallas looking pretty strong. Tomorrow, some big matchups. Boston at Toronto. Boston's playing really, really good ball. Nets at Philly, that's not really an important matchup. Atlanta or Orlando, that could be a possible matchup coming into the playoffs. They face off tomorrow. Charlotte at Miami tomorrow, that should be an easy game for Miami. It really should be a really easy game for Miami, but I just don't want to jinx myself. Actually, it's pretty bad matchup tomorrow. Sacramento at OKC. It should be a pretty game for the Thunder. Denver at LA. LA should take them. And Dallas at Portland should be a fun one. But that's going on tomorrow. And let's get into the standings by conference today. Chicago now 45-14 after the win. And Miami 40-17, now 4 games back. 3 games back in the loss column. The Heat actually held their own destiny. They controlled their own destiny coming into today, even though they were like 3 games back. I know that doesn't make any sense. But if you look at the loss column, we were only 2 games back in the loss column. We had 2 games left against Chicago. So if we would have just played Chicago 2 more times and beaten them, that would have made us even in the loss column. And then we could have won whatever, and at worst, say we tied them, we'd have the tiebreaker because we'd not beat them 3 out of 4. wishful thinking, wishful thinking. Now it's complete opposite. Now we're three back in the lost column. Not too many games left. Chicago 45-14. I mean, they have 7 games left in the season. They played 59 of the 66 games. And the Heat at 57 games, they have 11 games left. Or, excuse me, 9 games left. So it's right around the corner, guys. 2 weeks tops, and then the season's over. The Heat have a definite lock on the second seed. So we'll see how it all pans out. Indiana, back to number 3rd seed. They're 36-22. 2 games above Boston, who's now got the number 4 seed at 34-24. Boston 8-2 in the last 10. They're 1-4 straight. They're playing good basketball. Atlanta, number 5, 34-24, tied with Boston. Obviously, Boston will be ahead of them because of their division win. At number 6, you have Orlando, 34-24 as well. So a 3-way tie there. But Atlanta, I guess, has the tiebreaker over Orlando. Philadelphia, number 7, they're 31-27. And at number 8, the Knicks still have a lead. Kind of opening a little bit of ground in between them and Milwaukee. Now a 2-game lead on Milwaukee for that number 8 spot. So like I said, I do feel it's not bad the rest of the Eastern Conference is. Everybody else is eliminated except for Milwaukee. That's incredible. With 9 games left, it would seem like there'd be more teams that have a chance, but there really isn't. So Milwaukee, the only other team that could possibly make the playoffs. So we'll see if they can play some good ball. The Knicks are no sure guarantee, but they're playing better as of late. Looking at the Western Conference, Oklahoma City does have the best record, but only by a win. They still have the same amount of losses. Oklahoma City, 42-16. San Antonio, 41-16. Half game back. The Lakers, the 3rd seed, at 37-22. And the Clippers at 36-23 have the 4th seed right there. And look at the bottom 4, Memphis, 34-24. Losing tonight against San Antonio, but they're still 7-3 in the last 10. Playing some good ball. The Clippers, actually, 8-2 in the last 10. Lakers, 7-3 in the last 10. So those three teams playing well as of late. Former champ, reigning champ, Dallas Mavericks at 32-26. They're number 6 in the West. Denver and Houston both 32-26 to round to end the Western Conference. And Utah, Phoenix, Portland are the only teams left that could possibly make it. Minnesota, Golden State, Sacramento, and New Orleans have all been eliminated. Race for the 8th spot in the West. Utah, game and a half out. Phoenix, 2 games back. And looks like Portland is 4.5 games back. Phoenix not playing horrible as of late. I think they had pick Phoenix if I had to pick another team to replace Houston as who I thought could do it. We'll see what happens. Steve Nash is playing really, really well over there. He's getting tons of assists every game, and they've been playing really good lately, so we'll see if they can sneak into the playoffs. Houston hanging on there. And I think definitely getting toward the end of the season, I definitely want to check out the stats. The stat leader so far, just in the main categories. Let's check out the points per game leader. Kobe Bryant looks like he's going to finish the season with the best points per game. He's going to get the scoring title. I know he's only up by 0.6 points, but with, you know, being at the end of the season, that's tough to make up. So he has 28.1 points per game. Kevin Durant, 27.5. LeBron James, 27. Kevin Love, 26. And Russell Westbrook at 24.2 points per game. Rebounding leaders, really no surprise, these three up there. Dwight Howard, obviously needing 14.5 rebounds a game. Kevin Love, 13.3, and Andrew Bynum, 12.2. The other two notables, DeMarcus Cousins, 11.1, and Chris Humphries, 11 rebounds a game. And assists, I know Steve Nash has more assists than Rajon Rondo this year, but Rajon Rondo having a better average per game, 11.4 assists per game, Steve Nash, 11.1. The only two players in the NBA with double-digit assists per game this year. Chris Paul, number 3, 8.9. Jose Calderon for Toronto at 8.8. And Darren Williams at 8.6 for the Nets. So those are your main three stat leaders. Serge Ibaka is still leading by far in blocks with 3.6. And Chris Paul leading in steals at 2.46 steals per game. So he's doing excellent. Well, we do not have NFL to talk about, but we do have MLB. It is now the new sport. No lockout news for them. I mean, they've had a clean entry to the season. But definitely some interesting stuff going on. Scores today, Washington beating Cincinnati 3-2 in extra innings. Detroit beating Tampa Bay 7-2. Minnesota beating the Angels 10-9. You're going to see Minnesota having a good game. Texas beating Seattle 5-3. Chicago blanking the Brewers, Cubs, that is, 8-0. And Colorado, San Francisco, San Francisco winning 4-2. And the Marlins losing again 3-1 to the Phillies. Let's look at the early standings. Just your notable ones. Obviously, the all-important NL East. I think it's looking kind of backwards. Washington 5-2, Mets 4-2. We have the Phillies at 3-3, the Braves at 2-4, and at the bottom is the Marlins at 2-5. It's a long, long season. I'm not worried about anything so far. Definitely got a new team, and it's going to take some time to get used to everybody. A couple of notables, Logan Morrison and Giancarlo Stanton, who obviously is supposed to have decent years this year, really haven't had their feet set. I mean, they haven't played too much spring training with injuries, so they're going to have a few more weeks to kind of break in and get the feel of the game. NL Central, St. Louis, Milwaukee leading that. Cubs at the bottom, 2-5. I'm wondering, I'm just looking at, I would have missed something totally. I don't know what I thought Houston moved over to the NL West. Excuse me, the AL West. Now I don't know. I'm actually going to have to get back to you guys next week on that one. What I had thought happened was that the NL and the AL now had an equal amount of teams. Instead of having a 4-team division in the AL and a 6-team division in the NL, then Houston moved over to the AL West and made all divisions 5 teams. And that now that there would be an odd number of teams in each league, there would have to be an interleague play every week, every matchup. That's how I had thought that the news went down. But it's not saying that on the standings. It's showing the 14 division and the 16 division. So I'm not sure how exactly it's working. Just interesting. It kind of caught me off guard. I'm not sure how they're going to work that out. But long season, we'll have some more news on that for sure. And now for you guys, here is my top 3 plays. Enjoy.
Battier in the air. Off the fingertips of Rondo, Bass runs it down, but turns it over. LeBron, Wade, LeBron!
Great vision of the ability to leap and cover that ground that LeBron James just did from beyond the foul line. And then naturally the pass.
So lethal when they force it.
And here's number 2.
7 from the big shooting guards.
2 out of 2 for Williams. 6-point game. 4 seconds left. Lou Williams is quick. Gaines hits the deck. Williams at the horn. Got it! A 3! Lou Williams buries it from long range as time expires.
Remind you a little bit of the Cleveland shot the other night that sent the game into overtime.
And here, just like every week, is your number 1 play. And yes, it's Blake Griffin.
Shots that he's been able to miss, but you can't be that way all the time.
Oh! The throwdown from Griffin.
Those are the type of plays that this ball club has been having.
And this, I mean, this is like going to the fountain of youth. Griffin may play like Ponce de Leon the rest of the ball game.
And
yikes.
One step into the lane, he has the ability to attack the rim.
Made it a 2-point advantage.
I did start my fantasy baseball. People are questioning my first pick. I did choose Evan Longoria. But it looks like Evan Longoria is leading the entire majors in average at 476. I know it's early. It's kind of dumb to start saying his stats because they didn't mean anything, but he's off to a hot start. David Freese was not projected. He was projected 188 in the draft, and I picked him 4th round. He's having a great season so far. 429. He's 10 RBIs. I believe he's leading the majors in RBIs. Tied with Andre Ethier. He's got 12 hits. He's just on fire. He's having a great year. Obviously, the Cardinals without Albert Pujols this year, but signing Carlos Beltran. So if Carlos Beltran can have a decent year, like I think he could, they might be a good team again this year. And, you know, with their experience now in the World Series and all that, they might have another run. So we'll see what happens. But what is for sure is they did add another wild card team to each league. So instead of having the one wild card team open up and play a playoff series, they're not going to have a one-game playoff series with the number two wild card team at the end of the season. And whoever wins that one game will then be the wild card leader. So definitely shakes things up a bit. It's a long season. It's tough to play 162 games and have, you know, only have four playoff spots, especially in a league that's dominated by teams with high payrolls that can kind of buy their ways in the playoffs. These lower market teams have no shot. This kind of helps out a little bit. In the NBA, you actually have more playoff spots than non-playoff spots. So I just wish that they would have more opportunities, and this is actually helping out. Just so far, Ian Desmond leading the MLB in hits. David Fries with 13. David Fries has 12. Raphael Furcal, 11. Those two both played for St. Louis. Bonifacio for the Marlins with 10. And a whole bunch of people tied with him. And, of course, MLB.com is freezing up. So, I have about 10 minutes left. And just want to welcome back to Ship Show Radio on blogtopradio.com. I want to welcome back Captain Frankie Dredd and his show, Dredd Sports Talk. It had been playing for a very long time on Tuesday nights, and he's been off air for a little bit. He aired this week, so he'll join him every Tuesday night, I believe at 10 o'clock, he'll be on. So now we have two sports shows on the radio network. I'm not sure how he's running it. He normally has Evil Rob and his trusty first mate Ken, so check him out. Got a lot of great debates, very well put together show. And he's on Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock. And just really quick, it's pretty much all I actually really had to talk about. I just want to give a quick shout out to the Florida Panthers. You know, I'm not going to sit here and root super. I mean, I honestly ain't going to root high for them. I respect all the true fans out there that have been watching them for so long. One, it's hockey. Two, they haven't been in the playoffs for 12 years. And I'm really happy for all the Florida Panthers fans out there. You know, I'm a diehard South Florida fan. It's just, you know, who I've always been. I can't help but root for Florida teams. When the Lightning made it, like 8 years ago, I rooted for them too. You know, I didn't seek any glory. You know, I wasn't wearing the jerseys or anything, but I'm definitely rooting for the Panthers, and I'm really happy they made it. So you will see me rooting for them, but it's not like I'm hopping on the bandwagon or anything. But it's hard for me not to root for a South Florida team like them. It's good to see a hot city like this have a good hockey team, which is usually dominated by northern teams. So good luck to them. They play tomorrow against the Devils. It's always tough. I think Chicago is now our biggest rival. It's so intense. So my final thought of the show, I'm kind of been pondering the thought about Derrick Rose and what's going to happen with the Bulls. They're playing good. They didn't have Derrick Rose today. He played, but he wasn't. He had no effect on the game. And the first thing I think about coming into this year's playoffs is last year's playoffs. There's no different players. I mean, everybody's got the same players pretty much. And you saw what the Heat did last year. Now, the Heat, if anything, got better, or at least progressed more than the Bulls, you're assuming. And if that's the case, it should be a piece of cake now in the playoffs. They won in five games last year against the Bulls. And just from that standpoint, what's there to worry about? But they're trying hard right now, and they can't even beat the Bulls without Rose. And I know it's in Chicago, and Chicago's been playing great. They're playing excellent without Rose. That scares me a little bit. The Bulls are definitely playing with a chip on their shoulder. You never once hear anybody say that the Bulls are the best team in the NBA. It's normally always saying that the Heat are. And, you know, it's basically because what happened last year in the playoffs. I know that they're playing with a chip on their shoulder, and they have a great team. And if they can shoot the ball, you know, they're deadly. So I'm a little nervous about them, especially if we don't have the home field. We're going to have to win one over there. So, you know, the Heat need to shape up, get some momentum going to the playoffs at least. Nothing wrong with being the second seed. You're still in a good position. But what's Rose going to do? Like I said, seven games left. That's going to – those seven games are going to go by in 10 or 11 days. And Derrick Rose is not back to his original shape and his form. He's the MVP. I mean, they need him to play. That's no question. But is he going to be ready by the time the playoffs start? He may not be. But they're going to be playing an easier team in the first round. By the time they have to play Miami, he should be ready to go. But we'll see how serious his injury actually is. Just definitely got to look at it. I mean, if he can't get healthy or get back to his shape, which is possible, I don't think that's the case. Like, Rose was had two points today, 1-for-13 from the field. Just obviously not his game. So he's definitely got to step it up and get back to his normal form. It shouldn't be hard. You're an MVP. That should be easy for you. So just have to look at that. But for some reason he doesn't, the Heat should smoothly go by through the playoffs and take care of business. So I say it now. I know it's still like 7 or 8 games left, but that's going to happen so quickly. By next show, we're going to have like 3 or 4 games left, and then by the next show, we're going to be in the playoffs. So it's coming by quick. Stay tuned. Make sure that you keep tabs on the draft. That's the big news coming up. Next show, definitely going to be the rest of the NBA, Stanley Cup playoffs, and the draft coming up. So with that, I'm going to say goodnight. I'll see you guys next Thursday at 11 o'clock, as usual. And good luck to anybody, any diehard hockey fans out. This one goes out for you. Good luck to all your teams. And I'll see you guys next week. Make sure to join Captain Frank of Dread with Dread Sports Talk next Tuesday. And join the Sunmo Sports Ramp next Thursday at 11, only on Ship to Shore Radio and blogtalkradio.com. Good night, guys.
I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And